This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Set me free. Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here, and welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Glad to have you joining us on this journey of life. And this is being recorded in Romsey in the United Kingdom. I'm here with Elliot Frisbee. We talked to him last week. He is the founder and director of Monkey Nut. They are a leading creator of audiobooks here in the UK, especially of the Christian side. He is also the host of the Outskirts of Faith podcast, and the man started his career in music when he was a teenager. Welcome back, Elliot.
Great to be back. Thank you.
So we're going to get into the sexual realm this time, and you've had some experiences with that arena, a couple music videos you made, so let's hear those.
Yeah, well, I think the first thing to say is that the I think it's very common in the media and the entertainment world. I think it's very, very common. I think it could be, you know, if just people getting changed in the changing rooms, you know, sort of getting naked together, and little jokes and comments made, all done in sort of fun and jest, but it kind of can elaborate out from there. And I think the, I think that a lot of people in the entertainment world, you know, I think some people kind of don't really know how to be, so they kind of like joke around a bit, explore a lot as well. But I mean, a couple of stories that spring to mind was one, I think World Cup football or soccer, I think it was 2006, I want to say. We had a World Cup song out. I don't like the music video, so I'm not going to tell you what it was called. But I was the lead vocalist of this thing. And it was a famous poem put to music. And I was going to meet my now wife, girlfriend at the time. And she was working late on a charity event. It was a 24-hour charity thing. She worked in film and TV at the time. And we, there was a studio we were going to be shooting the video for just down the road from where she was working. So I was just talking to them, and I'd never done a music video before. And I said, oh, I'm going to be passing you guys soon, so I'm going to pick up. And they said, oh, you should pop in. I said, oh, I can't, because it's like 1 a.m, half one, you know, it'll be late. And they said, oh, no, we're open. You should come in. Really? They said, yeah, we work all the time. I was like, fair enough. So they buzzed me through. They said, come through Studio One. Anyway, as I walked through Studio One, there were three double beds, girls in like a thong, got thigh-high boots, topless, on the phones, taking calls in. And it's like those basically call-in things which you get on like Freeview or wherever you get them. And people would call in. If you're unfamiliar, people would call in and basically have like sexual conversation with
like
someone.
Phone sex.
Yeah. And they would pay premium rates to have phone sex. So, and they can watch them. And basically, if you have it if you don't call in, you can see the image on TV, but you can't hear them. And that kind of entices you to call in. Anyway, I was talking to the camera guy, and he goes, oh, you can talk because they're on the phone. So that's the only way they can hear. And he said, go and make yourself a cup of tea. So I looked at the, I said, well, do the girls want one? Now for me, you got to remember, I wasn't thrown by this because I've always worked in the entertainment world at the time. So, you know, my passion being is obviously like writing and spoken word and music. So I was used to seeing, and getting sort of changed in front of male and female with no problems whatsoever. So I actually knew they were working. I was just like, okay, that doesn't bother me. But the people at home, they were viewing them very, very differently, very differently. And anyway, so one of the girls took a break. And if you could just imagine this, you know, she's literally standing in front of me, a beautiful lady, a woman. She was wearing like thigh high boots and a thong. That's all she's wearing, standing right in front of me. And I was just having a chat with her, you know, having a cup of tea, having a chat. And I said to her, and I just wanted to ask, I said, look, I hope you don't mind me asking. I said, I really don't care. I'm not judging you, anything like that. I said, but you're very intelligent. I'm loving this conversation. And, you know, you're obviously, you hold yourself very well. Do you mind me asking why you do this? Why you do it, Jim? And do you know what her answer was, Mike? Mm. She said to me, I do have a job as well. She says, but my child went to school, who's in junior school. I'm not sure what junior is for you, you know, sort of like up to the age of 10, that kind of, it's after kindergarten, that sort of early stage. And another student in that class pulled a knife out on the teacher. Mm. And she said, this is the only way I can afford to get my son into a better school, to a private school. Mm. What do you say to that?
What did you say to that?
Don't throw it on me, Mike. You're the expert. I mean, come on, man. I'm just so. Well, in all honesty, I was. You know what? I was 25. You know, 26 maybe.
Oh, that's a lot for a 25-year-old.
But you got to remember, I left home at 16. Mm. I had a fake ID at 13, going into bars and stuff like that. You know, I had all that in my system. You know, by then, and. So I'd been living on my own for like 10 years at that point. And I just said, fair enough. At that age, I said, fair enough, you know? Do you want to dive into that or do you want me to move on to the other story?
Yeah, I mean, it's heartbreaking that she's allowing herself to be treated like an object to make money when her value has nothing to do with being treated like an object.
Exactly.
But when what we tell women who come to us for help is your primary identity as a Christian is beloved daughter of God, not in the context of a marriage, wife of a sex addict. And you can take that to other extremes too with what that young woman was doing, and it just breaks your heart and makes, you know, wonder, you know, what was her backstory and was she never told that she has more to offer than just that? There's so much, you know, we'll never know.
But. Yeah, it's actually just coming back to me that she was a single mother as well. And so straight away, just adding on to what you said there, no, obviously you didn't know that. Mm. So it does pose the question, even though there are fantastic organizations out there available, but how much is being, is there a loud enough Christian noise about this?
Well said.
The other story is, they say it comes in three, but I do not plan to do another music video. We had a charity Christmas single, which I co-wrote, and it was with, and the vocalists and the people on it was like old radio DJs from the UK. And we had Dave Hill from Slade on it. You know, it's the Christmas song Slade. Mm. And we had him on there and everything. And we were going to shoot a music video for it. We had Universal putting it out there. I produced a record. We had a big team in. I did some personal investment as well into it. To try, because we knew we'd sell some CDs, you know, we had a store over here called HMV, and that was quite a big one over here. And our single was at the front of that, you know, it's really cool when CDs were still going. And anyway, the person who was going to do the music video, we were going to do it in the woods and have fake snow and all that jazz. It couldn't do it. We needed the music video, so we said, right, okay, well, what do we do? And one person suggested, well, there is this guy who. His gimmick is that he celebrates Christmas 365 days a year. Mm. So his house is always decorated and stuff. So I was like, right, let's do it there. So we went round and I was like, okay, I'm looking at the age range here and I'm thinking we need some younger faces in this. So me being sort of like younger at the time, I said, well, the musicians who performed on the record as well, I produced it as well, but I was like, let's get us in as a band, look like a band, and we take over the party at the end and rock out in there. And I said, we need some female as well. So we had two, and the person whose house it was said, well, I know a modeling agency, they will send us, they're friends of mine, I'm sure they will help out and support it. I said, great. So anyway, two girls came along, really lovely, really nice people. And I'm doing very hard not to say names here. And then one of them, they came in and said, oh, should we get changed upstairs? And I, who was sort of like running the show, part running that session, I said, yeah. And the person whose house it was had ordered himself, it's really weird, superimposed with all these different Christmas settings. And one card was with these girls, these women in lingerie sort of dancers, you know, like cabaret kind of things. And I said, I just cracked a joke and I just said, absolutely. And I pointed at the card and I said, your outfits are upstairs, right? I wouldn't have made that joke now. But at the time, it seemed like an icebreaker. And they, she looked, leaned in, looked at it, goes, oh, I've wore worse. Anyway, she went and got changed and the day was great. It was no problem. Anyway, so long story short, we put it out on YouTube early as a little pre, this is coming out. And in a very, very short period of time, somebody wrote on and said, isn't that, mentions a name, the porn star? And my heart's dropped. Like, I'd invested a lot. This was a real big thing. Luckily, in hindsight, God has great plans, you know? But I said, so we said we'd be active. I wrote back, someone wrote back and said, no, it's not, it's such and such. I went, no, that's blah, 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 who is this location's, because I don't want to put any weight on it. That's why I'm skirting over. This location's biggest porn star. So I went online and I'm not sure how openly we can talk on this show. Okay, but you know, I went on the website and the homepage was like anal sex. It was really in hardcore stuff, you know, very aggressive. And so I rang her and I was actually thinking a little bit selfishly at the time because I was thinking this is, could break me, you know. I didn't have a lot of money and I put everything in and trying to survive. And she goes, oh, I didn't think it would matter. You know, I didn't think it would matter just doing it under a different name. And it turns out that after a bit more research, she also went on a very famous TV show here saying that she had sex with 100, used Facebook to have sex with 100 people. So it was all very raising her profile in that industry. That's what she was doing, probably to make more money. And we think to this day, even though we got no proof, that she was the one under a pseudonym who wrote that comment on YouTube just to raise the profile. So we had to pull it. You know, it was a charity Christmas single, for goodness sake. The plan is to maybe release it again sometime with different voices and everything. But, you know, and it was awful. I tell you what that did. That potentially stopped a children's hospice receiving a lot of money. Because how can I say we're going to release this and then someone does some research and they relate a children's hospice song with hardcore porn?
You would destroy it immediately.
Anyway, yeah, so that happened.
Well, let's fast forward to 2023.
2 years
Fall ago. Of 2023, I meet you at the Christian Resources Exhibition.
Yeah, that's great.
I meet you for the first time, tell you what we do with helping people with porn addiction, sex addiction, adultery, all those things. My struggles getting into churches and how there's so many walls building up. And you said, leave it with me. I'm going to go do some research. What did your research find?
Well, I truly believe that we were placed near each other that day. I was drawn to what you were doing and on the corner. And I realized, I was thinking to myself, how many people are going to engage or walk past from the churches. And I the first thing I did was I went on social media and I thought, you know, like porn restoration and things like that. And the first thing that dawned to me was that it took me 4 swipes on social media before I got 2 girls kissing.
Oh.
Four swipes, you know?
And you weren't looking for it, obviously.
No, I weren't looking for it. I was looking for who does what you do.
Oh.
You know? And then I just discovered that, and the more research I did was ringing. I mean, obviously we are the leading creator Christian audiobook, so I know lots of vicars and lots of people, you know, people like that. And I just rang some people and I said, you know, what's the topic at all? Well, it's an important issue. This is what we heard a lot. It's an important issue. You know, but you know, and we should be doing more of it. But what I translated that to, that's a risk I'm not prepared to take.
Mm.
That's what I heard. And it occurred to me that in America, they'd be very much more open-minded to talk about these things. But, you know, we are a country where we stand in a queue, have a little, you know, we find a queue, we join it. We have at the post office, we have a little moan because it's taken so long because Betty's having the chat with the lady about her cat. And then we're like, we get ourselves up. And then as Betty's walking away, we go, have a nice day. You know, have a lovely day. So, you know, how are you going to get in there? And I suddenly realized that we as Brits need to feel safe in the content. And it became quite clear to me that the stuff that you were doing, which I thought was fantastic work, needed to be presented in a more modern direction, a UK modern direction of church, without going too far forward. That's why we ended up recording in a church. And then we had that wonderful, Darren, presenting the top and tail of what you did. And I thought it was great. I thought it was a good call.
Mm. Well, from what I remember from your words, you said that point blank, British pastors will not talk about sex. And you said that British people are judgmental.
Yes.
And then went into the they need to feel safe part.
Yeah, they do need to feel safe. We do need to feel safe. And I think that the UK church is developing and growing. And I'd like to hope and have trust that they will be more open-minded to this topic and invite people like yourself in, invite you in to do this, your course, and to talk about it. And that is happening. Mm. That is happening. But you have to remember that we are Brits, and we're very, very polite in many ways. But I think it would take a lot for people to openly admit it, especially within a relationship.
So is it pride or fear or both or culture?
We just all of it. All of it. Yeah. I think, you know, nobody wants to admit, hey, you know, I'm masturbating 3 or 4 times a day to porn, you know, but then at the same time, I mean, I spoke to a few people about this and, you know, it's very much women as well as men, you know, I spoke to someone who admitted that her and their partner like watching porn when they have sex, you know, and
were these believers?
No.
Oh.
But then what comes with that is that you realize. So I think that all guys at some point or another masturbate, you know, as women, as you women, and I remember thinking to myself once, actually, you know, you don't need to, because if you do, then let's just say you did, and then you that same day you had an intimate connection with a partner. Mm. The connection won't be as intimate if you've already, say, masturbated earlier on,
mm-hmm.
and used your imagination instead of the real physical connection. So that's something that I would say to people, you know, that's came quite clear. But the words like masturbation doesn't pop up in the UK vocabulary. Mm. But it should. And I think it's starting to do it more. And I think someone like yourself can really help people open the doors to it. But I think that there needs to be some protection around the group doing it.
So as the director of the Blazing Grace video series, give us a two minutes, tell us your impression of the content.
The first thing that stood out to me quite clearly, which I admired, and I remember looking at you thinking, I want to be friends with this guy forever, was your honesty. And I think that is the first point that will lower down a boundary. You were so honest about what you went through, about the prostitutes and about the masturbation and how you felt, that straight away people go, oh, okay, I can be there too with you. I loved that. I loved the passion within these courses. I like that it had a path. You started in session one with your story, but within every session, there was these takeaways where people could feel empowered to be able to move on whilst addressing what they're doing. So the way you did it doesn't make people feel guilty, which I think is beautiful. But actually, look, it's okay to draw a line that Jesus forgives, you know, and it's a case where you can say today, I'm going to stop and can carry on. And we've been doing it right, which you do. I'm not going to go into that because you would do it so much better than I would, but you can move on with grace and say, I'm drawing a line here. And that's what your course does. It basically says, yes, you're doing it and you might slip up. You may think I'm going to get over it, but then you slip up, but it's okay because just follow this series and then you can draw a line. And the road to grace, as it says in the trailer, the road to grace will be a blessing to you.
We got about 3 minutes left, and I want to talk about youth for a minute.
About?
Youth.
Youth, okay.
You're a father of two children.
Yes, I am, yes.
These are two articles that came out in your backyard just a week ago.
All right.
First one, Irish Examiner. A growing number of parents are seeking help over their children viewing porn. Calls have tripled in 2024. And from The Sun, the title was, My Son, 8 years old, watched violent porn with his addicted school pal at a sleepover. And when my son was 8, right after I gave him the sex talk, he went to a sleepover with Christian boys and they watched sexually explicit content. So what should we be doing with youth? What should we be saying to them at what age about this issue?
Does this radio show beep out swear words? I'll just say, get off effing social media. Now, parents, stand up. Stop thinking to yourself, I want my kids to have what I didn't have. And be bold enough that when the other people at schools have got social media and they've got your WhatsApps and their Instagrams and everything like that, you be the one who stands tall. You be the one who stands strong and says, darling, I love you. And, you know, we can go out for ice cream. We can go out to a theme park. We can go out and do all of that thing with the money we've spent on the phone. But you just got to trust me. There will be a time for social media, but that time is not now. And I'm your parent. I am the one who will look after you. I'm the one who loves you. And I just ask you to put your trust in me right now as I make this call.
40 seconds. What should our youth groups be saying regarding this in church?
I think that they should be addressing it. And I think they should say, explain about the body and explain that they are loved and they don't need to get satisfaction from any other physical, sexual viewing. They don't need to because they are constantly loved. And I think that they need to be talking about it regularly. And little questions like, has anyone been seeing this recently? Have they been spoken about it? And let's be honest, don't be afraid. Let's talk about it. And just know that the Bible said ... Mm.
Thank you, Elliot. And I'll just say publicly, you were fantastic at helping direct everything and the flow of the video series, first class, professional. So I recommend you to anyone else. And thank you, my friends, and we'll see you next time. Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.